Bible Baptist Church, located at 2015 Eula Road in Madisonville, Kentucky, would like to invite you to listen to a message of the sovereign grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ by their pastor, David Edmondson.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." What was Paul's great commission from the Lord Jesus Christ? The same as ours, to preach the gospel. That's what Christ commands all his servants to do. He has given unto us all the ministry of reconciliation. Men are reconciled to God, brought back into fellowship with God by the preaching of the gospel. In verse 21 here of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we read, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." That's how God saves sinners, through preaching the gospel. Paul tells us here in verse 17 that Christ did not send him to baptize. He sent him to preach, and to preach the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, we call this the Great Commission. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." God saves sinners by the preaching of the gospel. Now, God's servants are to baptize those who believe. Baptism is a public profession of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was never, never intended to be a substitute for preaching. Religion has it reversed. Religion is consumed with getting men and women and children in the water. They're obsessed with getting men, women, and children down an aisle, in the water, and on a membership row. And in modern day religion, preaching is no longer given the prominence. Oh, music is given the prominence. Special music, contemporary worship, they're all given prominence, but not preaching. But Paul, the true servant of the living God, said, "Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and that not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Do you know what I kept thinking about when I read this verse over and over this past week? I was thinking that I have never yet heard that the cross of Christ was made non-effective by great plainness of speech. Never have I heard that plain, simple, easy to understand language made the preaching of the cross ineffective. Actually, it's just the opposite. Paul says it's made non-effective by wisdom of words. It's the enticing words of man's wisdom which is said to have this destroying effect upon the preaching of the gospel. When men attempt, by their own words and their own wisdom, to adorn the gospel, making it to appear more beautiful, they actually take away from it and harm its effectiveness. The painting of the Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci, that classic portrayal of Christ and the 12 apostles at the table, is no doubt one of the most famous artistic works ever done by an artist. I recently read that Many students of art history believe that that painting, when first created, was somewhat different from the version we see today. It's believed that originally there was an exquisite lace border on the tablecloth. Da Vinci allegedly invited a group of art students to view this great masterpiece, and they were so impressed by the detail and the design of the lace work on the tablecloth that they studied it intensely and just went on and on and on about it. And upon seeing the reaction of these students, it is said that the artist took a brush, dipped it in paint, and made a few long strokes across the canvas, obliterating the lace. Then, with uncontrollable feeling, he shouted, "Now, look at the face of Christ." You see, friends, it's not the flowery lacework of man's words and wisdom that makes the cross of Christ effectual. It's the simplicity of preaching Christ and Him crucified. Paul said in his second letter to the church at Corinth, he said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Verse 18 here in 1 Corinthians 1 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." I pray that the Lord may always enable me to be plain and simple in my preaching. So let me ask you, what is the preaching of the cross? Well, we're told here that to them that perish, it's foolishness. To them which are saved, it's the power of God. To some, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. To others, it's the power of God to save. Which is it to you? Is it simply foolishness? Or do you see the power of God to save in the message of the cross? What is it to preach the cross? It's to preach, first of all, about what transpired there. What happened on a cross? Somebody was killed. The cross was an instrument of death. And this is why I'm not a big fan of crosses. I'm not going to hang one up in my home, and I'm not going to wear one around my neck. There's no saving efficacy in a cross. There was nothing about the piece of wood that our Lord Jesus was crucified on that had any power to save. Nothing. The power of God to save is in the God-man who hung upon that cross. It's in what that God-man is doing upon that cross. That's the power of God to save. The act of crucifixion was intended to provide death. Provide death to a criminal, and this death was designed to be particularly slow, painful, gruesome, humiliating, and public. You might find it interesting to know that the term excruciating, it's used often, excruciating pain. That word excruciating literally comes from the Latin word cruciere, which means to crucify. Excruciating pain is a pain like a pain of crucifixion. Crucifixion was the horrific means of execution by the Roman government in our Lord's day. And contrary to popular belief, those crucified did not die through loss of blood, but through asphyxiation, as they could no longer hold themselves up to breathe. To be crucified on a cross was a gruesome public way to execute criminals and at the same time discourage others from breaking the law. And in the Roman Empire, crucifixions were usually carried out in public areas, on the main road, and in our Lord's case, upon a hill, upon Calvary's hill, Golgotha's hill, for all to see, and all to view the frightening power of the powers to be. But here's what I want us to see this morning. The preaching of the cross is to preach God the Son's divine payment for sin. This is the heart of the gospel, and it's called substitution. Divine substitution. Divine because it's God, the Lord Jesus Christ, dying in the room instead of his chosen people. For you see, the children of God are the ones who should have died the death of the cross. But this is why the Lord Jesus, who was God, became a man. This is why God made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. This is why he took upon himself flesh and blood and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, the scriptures say, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. No ordinary death, no. God made himself in the likeness of men, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. But much more than that, he became obedient to the death of the cross. He died as a criminal. Why? Because that's what you and I are, criminals. God's angry with the wicked every day, and God's holy justice demands our death. Do you see the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross? He's hanging there in the room instead of his people. This is the preaching of the cross. Jesus Christ, the God-man, had to become a man in order to die for his people, and yet he had to still be God in order for his people to forever live in him. He's God. He's man. He's not half God, half man. He's all God and all man. He's the God-man. And he is the only one who could die for your sins. He's the one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, if you have your Bibles, look down at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul wrote, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified." The only thing that Paul wanted his hearers to know was first, Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God. He's not just the Son of God. He's God the Son. God is in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is God the Son hanging on the cross. Is that foolishness to you? Or is it the power of God to save? Secondly, Paul wanted all his hearers to know what happened to Jesus Christ, God the Son. He was crucified. Paul said, "I've determined not to know anything but this, Jesus Christ, who he is. Jesus Christ and what he's done and him crucified." He's God, and as God, he died for sinners. That's the gospel. That's the preaching of the cross. He was crucified. God was. He died the just for the unjust. Paul wanted all those to whom he preached to know the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is substitution. Salvation. Now hear me. Salvation is knowing who it was that died. Salvation is knowing how and why he died. He died the death of a sinner, a horrific criminal. He died the death of an unjust person, even though he himself was holy and just. Why? The just one, Jesus Christ, must die for the unjust, the chosen sinner, so that God might be both just and justifier of those who believe. And blessed be God, he is. He is. It is in the preaching of the cross, in the preaching of Christ and him crucified, that we see, first of all, the sinfulness of sin. It was the sin of God's elect that put him there on Calvary's cross. And child of God, it was your sinful and wicked hands that nailed him there. In the preaching of the cross, I see, secondly, the holiness and the justice of God. The scriptures declare that God can by no means, clear the guilty. He cannot clear the guilty and still be God. His holy justice will not allow it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Why? God's too holy to excuse sin. God's too just just to sweep sin under a rug. The judge of all the earth must do right. It's right that sin should involve suffering. Supreme justice must visit iniquity with death, and therefore through the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was made to be sin for his people, and he died the death of the cross in the preaching of the cross, I see, thirdly, the only way sinners can be saved. It's the only way. The sacrifice made to God must be perfect to be accepted. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, and he died in the chosen sinner's place while giving them his perfect righteousness. That is the preaching of the cross. That is substitution. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Is that foolishness to you? Is it? Or is it the most wonderful thing that you've ever heard? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Remission, boy, I like that word. That's a wonderful word. Don't you imagine that a cancer patient loves that word? Your cancer's in remission. Oh, what a glorious word. The English dictionary defines remission as the cancellation of a charge, a debt, or penalty. You and I are charged with sin. Canceled. We owe a debt we cannot pay. Christ paid it for his people. The penalty for our charge is death. You see, friends, the shedding of Christ's blood cancels all three. He's charged with my sin. He paid my debt, a debt that he did not owe, a debt I could not pay. And he died in my place to pay my penalty. Canceled. Remission. Free from the law, happy condition, Jesus hath bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, Christ hath redeemed us once for all. I love the verse found in Romans chapter 5. It says, "For when we were yet without strength," boy, that's you and I, isn't it? Without strength. "In due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Romans 5, 6. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. I love that passage of scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 34. It asks, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Did you hear that? The preaching of the cross is the message of redemption. The preaching of the cross is the message of substitution. Nothing or no one can condemn me. Why? It was Christ who died. It was Christ who died in my place. No one can condemn me when he paid my debt, when he took the penalty of my sin. It was Christ who died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Oh, I'm telling you, what assurance I have in him. He died in my place, but he's risen again. You see, death and the grave could not hold him because he's God. Now, if I spent an eternity in hell, it would not pay for even one of my sins. Why? Because sin's what I am. Eternal judgment in hell is what I deserve. I deserve eternal death, wrath, and condemnation. But Christ died, and because of who and what he is, all the sins of all God's elect throughout all time are paid in full, and sin, death, and hell could not hold him, and it cannot hold me. He arose from the grave. He has the keys of hell and death, and he now sits at the right hand of God in all power and majesty, making intercession for his people. Oh, I love that verse that says, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. That's my assurance. Like Peter, Satan desires to sift the people of God as wheat, but their Lord and Savior has prayed that their faith fail them not. That's my assurance. That's my assurance. If Christ died for me, I cannot be lost. Someone asked an old preacher friend of mine, a man whom I respect so much, one time, said, do you believe once saved, always saved? He said, it all depends on who saved you. If God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ saved you, you're always saved. That's my assurance. If Christ died for me, I cannot be lost. The preaching of the cross is the preaching of atonement. Oh, that's another word I like. Atonement. A good way to understand that word is to break it down this way. At-one-ment. Reconciled to God. Made one with him. There's no atonement but by blood. There's no life without there first being a death. Now, the word preaching, verse 18 here, would have been better translated the word of the cross instead of the preaching of the cross. The Revised Version translates it that way. The original Greek word translated preaching in the King James Version is logos. That's the Greek word. And this is the only time that I can find the word logos is translated as preaching. Most every other time the word logos is translated word in the scriptures. Christ is the word. We're told that in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later on we read, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word. The cross speaks but one word. That word is Christ. That's right. Look at verse 23. We preach Christ crucified. That's what salvation is. It's Christ crucified. Salvation is in a person and in what that person did. And again, we see the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of the gospel speaks this way. Romans 10, verse 8 through 10. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This is the word of faith. This is the word of the cross. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him. Who? Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. From where? The dead. Thou shalt be saved. You see, the gospel is that Christ died in the place of chosen sinners. The power of God and the redemption of sinners is who it was that died. Who died? God died. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Christ is the righteousness of God. That's the word, the preaching of the cross, Christ. Paul said to declare, to preach at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ given to those for whom he died. That's the power of God. Is it foolishness to you? Or is it the power of God? Men today preach a self-sacrifice which somehow is supposed to stimulate self-salvation. But it's the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ is the just for the unjust. That's the message. That's the true message of redemption. The just one, the perfect one, dying for the unjust on the cross. Men cannot sacrifice self in order to be saved. There's nothing in self that a holy God will accept. Do you see that? Do you have anything that you would dare offer God that you might be saved? Oh, nothing but sin I am, sin and iniquity. And I hear a message preached today, but it's not the message of the cross. It's the message of self. Do men really think that they can appease God by their self-reformation? I hear men preach, straighten up, do right, and God will bless you, God will save you. You know, God helps those who help themselves. No, no, no. God only helps those who cannot help themselves. The preaching of the cross, the word of the cross is this. God had to die. God had to die to make chosen sinners acceptable. Now, friends, salvation is either by grace or it's by works, but it cannot be by both. Grace and works are like oil and water. They will not mix together. The cross does not show man what he must do in order to be saved. The cross shows what God had to do to save sinners.
You have been listening to a message by David Edmondson, the pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of God's free, sovereign grace in Christ, you can write to our mailing address at P.O. Box 652, Madisonville, Kentucky 42431, or log on to our website at freegraceradio.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, we meet at 2015 Beulah Road, Madisonville, Kentucky, and our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m. Worship services begin at 11 o'clock a.m. Wednesday evening services at 7 o'clock p.m. Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for another message of God's free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ.